If you would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. For Father's Day, we're going to be looking at an unusual passage in the Ten Commandments and seeing the importance of fathers in our nation and our lives. So Exodus chapter 20, you found your place in God's Word. If you would stand, have the honor of the reading of the Word of God. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 3. God here is speaking and says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we would ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes this morning, Lord, to the realities of our world, to the way you have created us, the way you have created human beings. But, Father, that you would open our eyes to our sin, the sins of our fathers. But, Lord, that you would open our eyes to the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Father, I'd ask for your Holy Spirit to be present in a mighty way for your glory and the saving of souls. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It is no secret for most of you that our nation, our community, churches as we used to know them are very quickly and very rapidly changing. And I would say it's a pretty safe bet for most of us to say that we do not approve of the change. Things that we never thought we would see in our lifetime, especially those of you who are older, we are seeing. And the changes are coming faster and faster and faster and faster. The brokenness of homes, the rampant sexual immorality, the redefinition of marriage, the rampant sexual immorality, the homosexuality, the rampant pornography, the nudity, all of the things that are taking place in our society, the corruption that's in Washington, D.C., the corruption that's in the United Nations, the corruption that's in every government. And as we look at those things, the truth be told, we are, for the most part, ignorant and blind of what is really happening. Jesus said it this way. He said, "The children of this age are wiser than the children of light." In other words, sometimes pagans understand things better than Christians do. You do realize that when Jesus was tempted by the devil tried to get Jesus to sin by quoting Scripture. The devil knows the Word of God. The devil knows God. He knows the way things have been created, and therefore he knows the way to destroy things. I read an article not too long ago, and in this article there was a lady who had just gotten divorced and was kind of in a man-hating stage, and her sister came along and said, "Hey, you need to come to this new organization we're forming." Eventually became the National Organization for Women. Her sister eventually became known as the Karl Marx of feminism. This was at the beginning of the rise of feminism in our nation. And so this lady was, "Whoa, hey, you know, I can't stand men because of what my ex-husband did to me." So she went to the meeting. And there was about 12 women there. And each one of the women was from very influential schools and had, you know, big degrees and went on to become very influential people in American society. But she said it was almost like a religion. I don't know if y'all have ever seen a catechism. Y'all know what a catechism is? It's where the leader asks a question and then everybody else gives a response. And she said that's the way the meeting began. She said it reminded her of going back to Catholic school and being told the catechism again. Because this is what the leader began. The leader said this. She said, "What do we want?" And they said, "A cultural revolution." "How will we get the cultural revolution?" "By destroying the American family." "How will we destroy the American family?" "By destroying the American patriarch." "How will we destroy the American patriarch?" "By taking away his power." "How will we take away his power?" "By destroying monogamy." Okay, that's the idea of one man marrying one woman and staying married for life. "How will we destroy monogamy?" "By promoting prostitution, promiscuity, eroticism, and homosexuality." They have succeeded, have they not? But what did they know that Christians have completely forgotten? What did they do that we have completely lost sight of? They realized the exact same thing the snake in the Garden of Eden realized. If you get the patriarch, you get all of his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. If you can get Adam, you get all of Adam's race. You'd almost think that God told us that in Scripture. That the sins of the father are visited upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. We know this. Okay? We sometimes just lose our minds when it comes, though, to humanity. But we know this. I know a lot of you guys like to hunt. And so what do? You breed good hunting dogs. And what do? You find the best dog, and he is the one that brings about the litter of puppies. Why? Because the nature of that dog will be seen in all of his children. Okay, I don't know how you like watch horse racing. I don't really watch it that much, but I do know this, that virtually every single horse you see in the Kentucky Derby is a direct descendant of Secretariat. Why? Because he's the fastest horse that ever lived. And you know what they wanted? They wanted the nature of that fast horse and his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Why? Because it's the law of nature. You will become exactly like your father. You will become like your grandfather, your great-grandfather. And your children will become like you. And your grandchildren will become like you. And your great-grandchildren will become like you. So what does the enemy know? If we get the dad, it's only a matter of time till we get all of society. If we get the patriarch, we get all the children, all the grandchildren, all the great-grandchildren, all the great-great-grandchildren, they're ours. And the church has completely lost its mind on this issue. We become completely blind to this, even though it's written in Scripture. You know what Scripture says? Scripture does not say that a man should be the head of his home. It doesn't say that. You realize that? It says the man is. We say, "Well, I know men, and his wife wears all the pants." No, he's just a horrible head and a horrible leader, but he's still the leader. You're the man who leads the ship into the iceberg is still the leader, even when the boat sinks. The man who abandons ship and lets someone else take the steering wheel is still the captain of the ship. He's just a horrible captain. Adam sinned. I thought it was Eve. No, Eve was just used to get to Adam. Isn't that what the lady said? "Well, we're going to use eroticism and prostitution. We're going to use all these things." How? To get to the man. How did David fall? Oh, the enemy used a woman. How did Samson fall? Oh, the enemy used a woman. All the mess in the Middle East. What was that? Oh, that was Ishmael. Came from what? He came from Sarah's handmaid. Whose idea was that? That was Sarah's. Why? Because if you get the man, you get all of his family. The enemy knows this. The man is the head. You see, we look at churches today and we go, "Oh my goodness, all the churches are filled with hypocrites and all these other things." I know. Okay, believe me, we know. The churches are corrupt. The churches are falling apart. The churches are failing. All of that. And we go, what's the problem? The problem is woman pastors. The problem is homosexuals. No. The problem is the men sitting in the pews, more properly, their grandfathers. That is the problem. Why, we know this. We live in the country. What do we say? We say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Okay? You know, I know some of y'all like country music. Okay, I used to listen to country music. There was a country song that I remember hearing. I can't remember who sang it. Some of y'all would know. But he talked about how when he'd come home, he was really busy and his son just wanted to spend time with him. But he was too busy to spend time with his son. And then he grew up and his son grew up. And then he wanted to spend time with his son. And his son said, "Dad, I'm too busy." And he said, "My son grew up to be just like me." It's true. You even physically have the appearance of your father. But you see, what the scripture says is that there are generational sins and generational curses that pass on from father to son, from father to son, from father to son, from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. The first generation, the second generation, the third generation, the fourth generation. And you and I know this. We know this. We've seen it in this community. Do you not know that there've been studies and shown this? You know what? Alcoholism, drunkenness runs in the family. If the dad's a drunk, the kid will be a drunk. The grandkid will be a drunk. The grandchild will be they'll be drunks. Domestic violence runs in the family. Did you know that young ladies who are beaten by their dad and observe their father beating their mother will marry a man who will beat them, which will then result in a grandchild who marries a man who will beat her, who results in a great-grandchild. Did you know that the idea of fatherless children continues on? Okay, in the African-American culture, and it's getting, the white people are catching up pretty fast, okay? 17% of African-Americans actually are raised with their own father. That's less than one-fifth. But you know what that results in? You know how that gets there? Because I was raised with a dad who ditched my mother, I will then ditch my wife as soon as she's pregnant, or my girlfriend as soon as she's pregnant. And the fatherless society continues to roll on and on and on. Divorce. People who are raised with divorced parents are more likely to get divorced. It just continues. You know, families, brothers and sisters that fight, give birth to children that grow up to fight. We know this. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You see, what is happening in your family is the exact same thing that happened in your dad's family and your grandfather's family and your great-grandfather's family. You see, sometimes we say, you know, you look in the mirror and you say, "I look in the mirror and I see my dad." No, what you see is your grandson, because your grandson will be you. There's generational sins. The sins of the father are visited on the third and fourth generation. Things like pornography, adultery, substance abuse, violence, all of those things get passed on. Lying. You know, one of the things that I had a class in college, and I really didn't like the class. I didn't really like the professor. And it was like the psychology of Christian counseling or something like that. But one thing we did do that has stuck with me is we studied the Old Testament patriarchs, and we studied their patterns of sin. Tell you, do an interesting study. Isaac lies to King Abimelech of the Philistines and says Rebekah is his sister. You know where he got that? From his dad, who lied to the exact same king about his mother and said his mother was his sister before Isaac was born. Isaac didn't learn it by watching his dad. He inherited it through nature. The sins of the father are visited on the third and the fourth generation. That is what is crumbling American society, is that you are turning into your dad, and your children will turn into you. That's how they're destroying our society. You can read their own writings. Why? Because if you get the man, you get his children. Did you realize Absalom ended up sleeping with 10 of his dad's concubines after his dad committed adultery with Bathsheba? God said, you did it in private. Your son will do it before the whole nation. Don't you understand? Homosexuality, one of its number one causes is abusive and absent fathers. One of its number one causes. Do you understand? The teen pregnancy comes from broken marriages, broken parents' marriages. Where does all of that come from? It's the sins of the father. You'd almost think that God wrote it down in Scripture. Now, I say this, and I want to belabor the point because I want you to realize that that you are becoming your dad, and your son is going to become you. I know men who say, I will not repeat the sins of my dad. And you know what? They are repeating them. They're becoming just like their dad. It's the law of nature. The Scripture teaches it. As in Adam, all die. You have inherited Adam's nature and his sin nature, and because of his sin nature, you will commit the same sins. The Scripture teaches that it's not necessarily what we do that is at odds with God. It's who we are. By our very nature, the Scripture says we are children of wrath. Because we are born in Adam, and in Adam all die. We are becoming exactly like our dads, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, and our children, and our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren will embrace and carry further each and every one of our sins. That is what's happening in our society. Study history. And I'm not talking 3,000 years ago. I'm studying the next last 50 years. But you can see it. You can see it even in this building. There's, down by Miss Colson, there's a stack of red hymnals. They have newer hymns than the white hymnal. And you begin to read the hymns in the white hymnal, and there rise up, O men of God, their faith of our fathers. They're those type of things. God of our fathers, whose almighty hand. You read in the red hymnal, and it's about my mother's Bible. I want to shake hands with mother again. It's no longer the faith of our fathers. You can see it in almost every single church. If you want to do a fun experiment, it'll take you several years, but go to every single church in our community on Father's Day and Mother's Day. You know what you'll find? The high attendance Sunday, the highest attendance we've ever had in this church was Mother's Day. And almost every year, the lowest attendance is Father's Day. Why? Because if you want to make mama happy, you go to church. If you want to make dad happy, you go fishing. Why? Because mama loves Jesus. Daddy loves fishing. What has happened? Why do you think the next generation follows daddy, not mom? Because it doesn't say the sins of the parents. What does it say? The sins of the father. You know, churches still don't get it. You know, I've told you all this statistic before, but they've done studies and they've shown this, that if you do evangelistic outreach to children, you get about 7% of the time their whole family. If you do evangelistic outreach to women, you about 17% of the time get the whole family. If you do evangelistic outreach to men, 97% of the time you get their whole family. This is why we as a church focus mainly on the men. Why? Because almost every woman's greatest heartache is the man in her life. It's the truth. And if you get the man, who did the feminists focus on? The people who are destroying our society, who did they focus on? The man. Why? Because if you get the man, his wife will follow. If you get the man, his children will follow. You'd almost think they read our book that we don't read and don't follow. Because you know what most Baptist churches do? Women's ministry and children's ministry. But here's the reality. As the dad goes, so the family goes, so the church goes, so the nation goes. Now, you may say, wait a minute. My dad is not the type of person I aspire to be. There is hope. And that hope is not found in religion. That hope is not found in church attendance. This is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about an hour a week. It's not about going to church. It's not about getting baptized. It's none of those things. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. Why? Because we by nature are the descendants of Adam. By nature. We are born the children of our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. And we must be born again. We must leave the old family, the old nature, receive a new nature and a new family. And who will our Father be? God. And what will happen? Just as we were born into Adam's family and begin to take on the likeness of our Father, when we are born again into God's family, we will begin to take on the likeness of our Heavenly Father. You see, that is what baptism is a representation of. Is that my old nature, my old family line is broken. And because of Jesus Christ, I am now part of a new family with a new nature. And I will go a new direction. You see, it is impossible for you to change your family. Some of you have tried changing. You know what it's like? It's like getting in a motorboat and cranking it up and just wide open and having a chain around a tree on the shore. You're going nowhere. You can put in all the effort, but you'll never go there. But what did Jesus Christ come to do? To destroy the works of the devil. He came to break that chain. He came to break the curse. He came to break the generational sins, the generational curse, and deliver you from the nature of your Father, to give you a new nature so that you might become like your Heavenly Father. Why? Because the law of nature will still apply. You will be like your Father. It's either your earthly Father, or if you're born again, you will become like your Heavenly Father. My wife and I, when we were preparing to get married, there was a professor and his wife that we knew, so we asked them to do our premarital counseling. And so we went over to their home for premarital counseling, and we saw them. They had a very happy marriage and everything. We didn't know much about them, and then we come to find out, the first night there, we were sitting in his living room, and he told me and my wife about their story, about how they both came from broken homes where there was yelling, screaming, cursing, violence, substance abuse, broken homes. If I remember correctly, he wasn't even raised by his own parents because his home life was so bad. She was the same way. Witnessed her mother being beaten. I believe she herself was abused. Continuously, they saw all that. But then when they went off to college, they came to faith in Christ. And this is what he told Lydia and I. He said, before we got married, my wife and I had a conversation, and we said the dysfunction stops here. It will not be in our home. I will not raise my children the way I was raised. That will not be in our home. By God's grace, we are new creatures, and we will not follow in the sins of our Father. That is what must happen. You must be born again. Dad, there is hope for you. I don't care how much you've blown it. I don't care how much your kids can't stand you. There is hope for you, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about the old you dying and a new man taking his place. I'm about throwing away your drunkenness, throwing away your adultery, throwing away your pornography, throwing away your temper and your violence, and running to Christ who can make you a new man. Do you not realize that our church is filled with people that used to be a lot of things? They used to be like their dads. They used to be like their granddad. They used to be like their great-granddad. But Jesus Christ has broken the curse. He has broken the generational sin that has been passed on from generation to generation to generation. And they are now raising children who will be like their father. They are raising children who will not be raised in broken homes, who will not be raised with the yelling, the screaming, the drunkenness, the substance abuse, the violence, the immorality, all of that. They will be raised in something entirely different. You see, the reality is this. What do we want? Well, we want a reformation. How will we bring about a reformation? By restoring the American family. How will we restore the American family? by restoring the American father. Listen to me. I know some of you are here and you have jerks for husband. Your husband's not saved. Your husband claims to be saved, but sure doesn't live like it. There's hope for you. There is hope for your children. That as you have to raise your son and raise your daughter, to run to Christ, to view the goodness of the Heavenly Father, so that they might become like Him, to teach them of generational sins. One of the worst problems in churches, and this is what has plagued Baptist churches for years, is secret sins. Family secrets. We hide them from our children, and we watch our children live them out. What you need to do is you need to sit down with your children and say, this is what your dad was when Christ found him. This is what your grandfather was. This is what your great-grandfather was. And this is who you will not be by God's grace. I've told y'all before, my great-great-grandfather was a pastor who left his wife for another woman and never repented of it. And I always wondered, how did I get such a wonderful family life? It's because my great-grandfather stood up to his own father and said, I will not repeat your mistake. And he refused, even to the day of his father's death. They were at odds, not because of my great-grandfather, because of my great-great-grandfather who refused to repent. And my great-grandfather withstood him and said, you are living in rebellion against God and need to repent. And refuse to allow the sin of my great-great-grandfather to continue in my family. That's what you must do. How do you restore the American father? Through the power of Jesus Christ. You break the chains of sexual immorality. You break the chains of divorce. You break the chains of addiction. You break the chains of lying, stealing, cheating. You break the chains of yelling and screaming at brothers and sisters. You break the chains of all of it through the power of Jesus Christ. He came to deliver the captives. He came to set them free. He came to destroy the works of the devil. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is what Jesus Christ offers to you. I don't care who your dad is. I don't care what your father has done to you or in front of you. I do not care. Even what you have done. Jesus Christ offers you a clean slate and a new nature. He offers you forgiveness of sins. He offers you a new marriage, a new home, a new life. You do not have to repeat the sins of your father. Jesus Christ can deliver you. He can save you. He can change you. The application of today's message is very simple and very short. Repent and believe in Christ, or you turn out to be just like your dad. You know, sometimes you look in the mirror, like I said earlier, and you see your dad. Now what you see is your great-grandson. He will turn into you. And the only way you can change that is for you to repent as a dad. For you to repent. You as a wife, you need to remember the way so many men have fallen is through the woman. That's why Scripture calls on the woman to help her husband. Listen, your husband is the leader, even if he's a really, 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 really bad one. And what you have to do is you have to help him to see the truth of Christ. You have to help him to make the right decisions. I know of women whose husbands have come home and started reading the Bible. And they've snatched it away from their husband because he didn't read well enough. And then they come and complain to me, my husband never reads the Bible anymore with our family. I know of mothers who constantly berate their husbands and wonder why their children do the same. You need to build up your husband. You need to point him to Christ. You need to pray for him. Listen to me, young people. Some of you have blessed families. But you need to talk to your dads and find out it wasn't always that way. And you dads need to be honest with them about your own sins, about the sins of your own father, your grandfather. And you say, you know what, you will not be like them. But there's a bit of application that goes beyond that for those of us who are Christians. Obviously, if you're not a Christian, you'll never break the generational sins. The only way to break them is coming to faith in Christ. But have you ever noticed one of the root issues with the Pharisees? One of the root issues with the Pharisees, and you can read about this in Luke 11, Matthew 23, is Jesus said, you build the tombs of the prophets. In other words, you say, I love Jesus and I follow the Bible. And he said, and you build the tombs of your fathers which killed them. One of the things that has killed Baptist churches and broken families apart and is destroying our nation is we want to hold on to our fathers who rejected God. People say, oh, we can't do that in our church because our dads or our fathers in the faith would never allow it. If our fathers in the faith were wrong, we need to reject what they said. We need to reject it. Because otherwise, we are going to turn out to be just like them who say we hold on to the Bible while we hold on to everything that is antithetical to Jesus Christ. Listen, my dad was a wonderful, wonderful dad. But one of the things my dad taught me is how to repent and not follow him. He taught me to follow the Word of God. He taught me how to acknowledge when he was wrong. You know, one of the craziest memories I have of my dad was one time, you know, I'm one of seven kids. One time my dad spanked the wrong kid. He spanked my brother, and my brother had done nothing wrong. And I still remember my dad taking the paddle and giving it to my brother and saying, son, you can give me a spanking. Because I was wrong. Why do you think I've been blessed with such a wonderful family? Because I had a dad who repented and taught us to repent. A dad who would sit down and talk about the sins of his father and talk about his sins. And my dad would talk about his own struggles and say, son, you have to break these things that have continued for so long in our home. Listen to me. Today is a day to honor fathers. But part of honor is being honorable. Your son will not do as you say. He will do as you do. Your grandson will be just like you. And if you repent and come to Christ, that's a wonderful thing. Because just as there are generational curses, there are generational blessings. That there are those who even the mother, you think of Timothy. What happened with Timothy? Well, his father wasn't a Christian man, but his mother sure taught him Christ. And he broke the chains that had been so long in his family. The application today is very simple. Will you be like your earthly father, or will you be like your heavenly father? Will you continue on in your sin, or will you repent and run to Christ? Will you reject the sins of your father? Will you repent and be like your heavenly father and follow him? If we do, we will see wonderful things ahead of us. We will see our church change, as we already have. We'll see our society change. We will see our nation change. We will see our world change. Why do you think in the New Testament Jesus Christ and the apostles almost focused exclusively on men? Almost exclusively. So much so that people accuse him of being sexist. Why? Because if you get the dad, you get the whole family. Happy Father's Day.